I'm telling you, we need to keep the spiritual prayer pressure on. That the devil will not have his way, but God will have his way in the lives of men and women. If the devil has his way, it's hell. Hell, fire, and brimstone, eternal damnation. Amen. We appreciate the Valines family. They've been here with us this week. Been quite a blessing to me. And they'll be in service tonight. They'll be singing and shouting and hooping and hollering and preaching and running and whatever else they feel led to do. We'll just have a good time. We're glad they came and spent the week with us. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. And it's about this time of the service that I start wishing somebody I could hear somebody else's voice. I'm about tired of hearing my voice here this morning. But I'm going to go ahead and go into the Word of God. Talking about in the Matthew chapter 10, in these first few verses, we're going to talk about the disciples and what we mentioned before already, what discipleship is. And really, to be a Christian, it's not an option. You don't say, well, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a disciple. Well, that can't happen. That can't happen. Because if you get saved, you're in the army, friend. That's right. You are in the army. And I thought of this soldier that, what little bit I've read about this soldier that was a doctor, and he didn't want to go to war. He didn't believe in the war. He didn't want to fight his Islamic brethren in foreign countries. And so, I guess he snapped or something. But, you know, in the spiritual realm, it's almost like people get in the church and really don't want to go to heaven. Amen. They don't want to fight the good fight of faith. They want to live holy. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They want to be part of the church. That don't work like that. I've found folks that won't pray. Listen to me now. Folks that won't pray and be a disciple and read their Bible and stay humble, they end up turning on their brethren. Yes, they do. Amen. And they become a terrible witness for Christ. You know, if we go out in these hollers, and I've been looking at the map, and, you know, I thought, you know, I looked at when we crossed the county line, at short gap, and, you know, of course, that road goes right in there and goes up on, Red Root Ridge, don't it? Ain't that where that goes up by the church there? And, of course, I know probably if you go in the county, Brother Mac, I could go down to there and come all the way out here, and I probably wouldn't find five people that wasn't religious or go to church somewhere or, you know, or had, but I know that. But, you know, you never know. There'll always be somebody out there on that ridge that just looking for a place to go to church, and somebody that's, you know, you never know. Somebody need to get saved. And the Lord, when he saved us, listen to me now. He didn't call everybody to preach the gospel, but he did call everybody to be a soul winner. Y'all believe that? He told those disciples, once he called them, and these disciples were called out, and it mentions in here, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but I think the Bible is a living book. And when you look at that, the Bible said he called his 12 disciples. He called 12 men to go with him that he could appoint. And this new gospel that he began to teach on the Mount of Sermon on the Mount. And he gave it to them. And it's just so amazing. You know, it's kind of like that when he fed that multitude on the hillside. It is a miracle. He took that bread, 5 loaves, is that right? In this one instance, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, took it in the hands of the master, and then he got his 12 disciples around, 12 handpicked men, and then he began to hand it to them. Brother Tommy, he handed it just like you or Peter, and I am Jesus, which I'm not and you're not, but it's just an illustration. And he handed it to him. He reached and got that. And his job then was to eat it. No. His job was to pass it out. And Jesus just kept handing it. Now, how in the world that 12 men take five loaves and feed 5,000? Huh? Now, what if these disciples decided, wow, I don't have to go back. Jesus is way over there. I'll just keep, but no, you'll run out like that. You've got to keep going back to the source. It's those blessed hands that broke that bread that are making the difference. You know what we're going to do when you that are going to help me, those 10 of y'all raised your hand, you're going to help me. When we start canvassing this county, we're going to have something from his hand to give them. Some kind of miracle bread. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something with power and life and true and miraculous. You know, and so that's what a disciple is. We're all disciples of Christ. We've learned of him. You know, there are blue million denominations in America. I don't know how many. I don't even know what a blue million is. But you just go to some city. I've done it. I went into Florida one time, passing through, got the phone book down, looked at the Yellow Pages for holiness churches, Pentecostal churches, or churches any kind to go to. Brother, there's gobs of them. One church after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Hey, it's not a denomination that brings life to us. It's not an organization. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. There is salvation in no other. Huh? And so we got to be partakers with him. And you know, here's what he said to those disciples. And I know we run out of time here. I want to deal with these 12 disciples. But in personal, particular. But I want you to know, first, discipleship is not optional for a child of God. And here's what I have. I want to ask you something. How many folks are we winning to the Lord? Now, I want you to notice what he said. He said, freely you have received. In other words, he gave them power to cast out devils. A Christian ought to have some power over the devil. Can you say amen? He gave them power to heal the sick. Then you say, well, that is still for our day. The Bible said, if someone is sick among us, call for the elders of the church. I don't just mean old people. That means the elders, the leaders, the anointed people, the pastors, the teachers, preachers. Call for the elders of the church. Anoint with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. How many knows that's still in James chapter 5? He gave them power. You know, and then he said it like this. He said, freely you have received. You know, the Bible, you know, there's a lot of people, amen, can say, here we are, all these jobs, all these places you go. I'm going to tell you what God's intentions was for the house of God. You come to the house. I don't really believe God and his great intent was for the house of God necessarily to be, as we call, a soul-saving station. You say, well, brother, I disagree with that. I believe people, sure, they can get saved. But, you know, the point was God's people came to the house of God to worship. And then we got empowered by God, got the Word of God in our heart, got anointed in our, get the Holy Ghost in us and the truth in us. And then we go from the sanctuary into all the world and preach the gospel. Somebody say amen. Oh, yes, we establish churches, and we support missionaries. That's one thing I want to put in our little brochure. Amen. We support these missionaries. We go down there. They build the little churches. You can send a few dollars down there. You could send $300 to the mission field and build a church with it. You say, well, how in the world? They just build it out of cinder block and put an old thatch roof on it and get in there and get to preaching and fill that place up. How many knows I'm telling you right? We got to be silent. God calls disciples to learn his ways. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. It is so, it's just odd in a way, strange. People, you know, they see the preacher coming and they just want to quit what they're doing and hide, cover it up. And one guy stuck a cigarette in his pocket when I pulled in, and he was smoking at the gas pumps. And I pulled in, and he seen me come, stuck it in his pocket. I'd heard about that, but I'd never seen it. I saw it that day. And I wasn't mean to him. I didn't just keep talking and talking and talking because I didn't want to get exploded. He was standing by a gas pump. But he thought because I saw him coming, and he thought, you know, that I guess that I was, you know, going to say something about him smoking a cigarette. He stuck it in his pocket, smoke pulling out. It ain't me, brother. I remember one time visit the hospital, and a lady come up the aisle, and I was just going and seeing me, and she wasn't dressed like she does at church. How many understand without me going in a lot of detail? And so I seen her start looking for a door to go in, and she went in one. I declare, I think it was the broom closet. And I want to say, it ain't me. Somebody better vision than me watching. Ain't that right? Amen. I'm going to tell you, God called every one of us to be disciples. He called us to learn from Him. He called us to sit at Him. Amen. You know, we need to pattern our life, not necessarily after some movement or some creed, but we need to pattern ourselves after who? Somebody say amen. All right, I've said enough of that. I want you to notice here we're down there at 11:30. Did everybody have a good breakfast? How about 5 more minutes in? Huh? What's it say first? I want to go to that first disciple. I want you to read that to me. What does it say? It goes down, talks about the power He gave them, and then He said, these are the disciples. And what does it say? What does it say? There's a word in there. Somebody read it to me. No, back on up. Let me see. Here's what I'm going to read. Where are we at? Right here. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now let's back up. I'm going to back up here to verse number 2. Okay, ready? Look at this. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Now, are you interested in that? I'd like to know who they are. But here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. See that word? First. The first. See that? Well, I'd be interested to know in them 12 disciples who He said was the first. You know who it was? Simon Peter. The first. Now, how many knows that when we read the Bible, he was not the first? You say, but he said it was the first. But he is in this scripture. But how many knows that Andrew was before Peter? Y'all remember that? They're brothers. Let's just go ahead and read those real quick because I don't have a lot of time. But I want to talk to us about these disciples. You, Fred. We got to have it. You got to get this. You say, well, I can't do nothing for God. I'm too bashful. Yeah, right. I said, hey, what about the other day when that guy pulled out in front of you? He wasn't too bashful to say, you idiot, you're going to kill me. That's not too bashful, is it? What about when you get a bill in the mail like that one guy did? Went to the hospital there at the accounting, and old Matty Williams used to have that office back there where you went up there and paid your bill. And he walked up to that woman, and he had a bill that wasn't right. Anybody ever have bills not right? Your bashfulness seems to deteriorate. He walked up and run his hand in here, Brother Harold, and he said, lady, I've got a gun here. Well, she thought, he said, I got a gun here. So she just ducked him behind the counter. You say, how do you know this? Because I knew her personally. Huh? I got a gun here, lady. Woo. Look, we just send the bills, buddy. We have nothing to do with it. He couldn't figure that out. We lose our bashfulness when, hey, we're out there trading guns and guys trying to, how many understands what I'm talking about? The Bible said, I don't have anything to give. I can't preach. Can't sing. What can I do for God? Now, you know, I want you to know, you ought to know better than that. I'll tell you, the preaching part of this was only tip of the iceberg. What about all of that underneath that preacher? Those that won him to the Lord. Those that taught him in Sunday school. Those that pray for him when, amen, he can't pray for himself. How about those that come into the audience and put their money in the offering that buys his neckties and his groceries? Huh? You say, I don't have anything. The Bible said that we ought to be stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, Holy Ghost, I love you. Huh? Steward. A steward is someone that takes something from someone else, that's someone else's property, and manages that properly. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God. You say, I don't have anything. You have grace? Who in here does not experience the grace of God in your life? There ain't one in here that don't have the grace of God. Well, let me ask you something. What does the world need more than anything else? Well, grace. Could we go somewhere out in the county and knock on somebody's door and here's a little information about our church and want to talk to you about the Lord? And you know, we all need the grace of God, and God has grace for you. He'll forgive you if you ask Him. Well, if you'll say amen, it'll go better. Huh? So this first was Simon Peter. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Simon Peter is a great example that Christ did not pick his 12 disciples because of their great personalities. Because of their gentle ways. Their perfection. How many knows that Peter, when the Lord found him, he wasn't all that good. Y'all looking at him? Y'all remember him, don't you? Of course, he was a great man. Now, don't get me wrong, but he had his problems. He was rude and forward, but he had some great qualities about him too. God can take, you know, you remember when Jesus first was introduced to Peter, Andrew introduced him. How many knows Andrew is not very well heard of in the disciples' line, but how many knows he was a very vital part of the discipleship, huh? How many likes to say, well, I can't be Peter because, I'm maybe not that bold and not have that insight that he had, but I can be Andrew. I can bring my brother to the Lord. I can find the Messiah for myself, and then I can bring him to someone else. I think sometimes the problem with our church is we've got a bunch of church members that really don't have a fresh experience with Jesus Christ. So what do you got to do? So what we got to do, we got to have revival. And we got to have church. We got to have the Spirit of God moving on Sunday morning. Amen. So folks that come to church, that go out of these church doors, and you may not like this, but people are watching you as you go out this door, and you are our church. Somebody say amen? And I'm proud of you. You know, the ones that I can be proud of. And I've told you this before, and I don't mind mentioning again, the man that worked in the grocery store here that met me somewhere out and said, you're Randy Webb? Yes. He said, I go by your church and said, I tell people, I tell my children, there's a good man pastors that church right there. I said, well, you've never met me. He said, no, but I worked in a place of business, and everybody that came through there that had a good spirit, I say, where you go to church? And I know y'all don't believe it. And they said, he went to Randy Webb's church at King Mountain. He said, never fail. You said, now what? You really? Yeah, that's right. Hey, amen. I know you said, well, brother, I wonder who it was. They must have already died. Hey, amen. But that's the way it is. When you get too close, you can't see the forest for the trees. Hey, amen. But I do appreciate. But I said that to say this. Those folks down there at the cash register are watching you. I was at the funeral home the other night. I may have already told you this, but I was at the funeral home the other night, and a lady came up to me, and she said, I need to tell you this. Said, my daughter went up through there. I'll tell you all this. And said, my daughter went up through there on a Sunday morning and said, I had to go over around Bristol somewhere early, went by all the churches, and said, so I just asked her. I said, who had the biggest crowd up the highway on Sunday morning? And she said, well, the biggest crowd was there where Randy Webb pastored. And she said, wow, he's a holiness preacher. That's unusual. But I want to tell you, if we really live right, if we really live holiness like it's supposed to be, are you listening to me preach? Huh? Come on now. Amen. God is what? Hey, we are disciples of Christ. Amen. God has called us out and he's empowered us and he's given us the word of God. He's given us grace. If you've been converted, that's a problem sometimes. People come to church and never converted. Amen. You need to get converted. Amen. And when Christ gave them power, you say, well, what was it that converted Peter's life? I'll tell you what converted him, because he met Christ and he believed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he looked at Peter and said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You've got to have a revelation. Hallelujah. And if you have a revelation, you'll have a transformation. When you realize that's what Andrew had, he come to his brother Peter, and I'll tell you, he was probably a lot like my big brother. You couldn't tell him nothing. Hallelujah. But he came to Peter, amen, and he said, I have found the Messiah. Amen. And Peter said, well, show me. And when he came up, amen, the Son of God looked at Peter, and he said to him, he said, thou art Simon, but thou shalt be, amen, Peter. Amen, you are this right now, but when I get done with you, old buddy, you're going to be the rock. Hallelujah. I wish somebody would say amen. Wouldn't it be worth the trouble? Some of our loved ones, amen, that are not any good today, amen, would meet our Savior and become a rock for Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My lesson today is about discipleship, and the first one was Simon Peter. I had a lot of, I could preach 2 months on Simon Peter. I'm not going to, I don't think. But I want you to know Christ calls out when he calls us. Amen. He said, follow me, and I'll make you. Brother Darrell, that's all he asked of us, follow him. Huh? You follow me, and I'll make you, if you sure mean. You can surrender to me and I'll make you. I'll take what you are and I'll make you what you ought to be. How many would be thrilled this morning if you could win somebody to the Lord before Christmas? Huh? A lot of times we got in our mind, if I can get this guy down there and let Brother Randy preach hellfire on him, maybe. And I understand that. But you've got the gospel too. Huh? You've got it too. You've got it in your life. How many thinks you know enough about Christ to lead somebody to the Lord? Let's just say you were working in the mines and the man you worked with was under a rock. Nobody there but you and him. And he looked out at you and took you by the hand and said, I'm dying. Can you help me get saved? What would you do? Would you be able to tell him? What if you lived like the devil in front of him? What would you do? What if you talked about, what if you looked at, what if you said, that'd be a bad position to be in, wouldn't it? But what if you really knew how? What if you got saved and you took him by the hand and you said, brother, I know you're leaving this world, but I want you to know, if you call on the Lord and confess your sins, he won't turn you back. He'll save you. Now, just pray with me right now. Lord, save my soul from hell by the blood of Jesus. How many thinks they could do that? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'd say every one of us are in that position here this morning. You say, well, they're dying. I thought about in our little brochure maybe putting a little something like this, preaching a living Savior to a dying world. Huh? How many in there this morning, stand with me? How many in there this morning are right with the Lord?